Good morning, 6:31 on June the 28th, Friday, 2013. Good morning. It's been a quick first mile. I thought I was going to break 15 minutes, but I went over here in the last couple tenths, so I'm trying to push through till the mile marker. And I'm a bit winded. My shins are killing me. Well, after yesterday, I thought, well, let's see. My cousin Paul sort of dared me. 15:50. Yeah, it's close to 16, but it is sub 16 by 10 seconds. I'm going to back off here a bit. Whew. Walk and talk at the same time. So yeah, yesterday there's a article out of the UK, a magazine called The Bookseller, that has authors, independent bookstores, complaining that authors are linking to Amazon and not to their local bookstores. Well, there's a couple of problems. The first of which is you can't really link to every independent bookstore. There are a couple of aggregation services where if you link to the service and you sell a book through the link, then you'll get only be charged 15%. So unless somebody buys a book, you don't pay anything. But if they do buy a book, cost you 15% to have linked to the independent bookstore. Now, the problem with this is what's happening is what I equate to the internet is the interstate highway system of the 50s and 60s. And bookstores are roadside attractions. They aren't the only kind of roadside attraction. There's lots of different kinds of roadside attractions. There's gas stations and grocery stores and restaurants. But there's also bookstores. And the bypass of the internet takes you to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or your bookstore of choice, because that's the bookstore where your books are. It's where you're likely to find them. You're not likely to find the book you're looking for at your local bookstore. That's just a fact of life. Unless you only read bestsellers, unless you only read the genre that the local stocks in any kind of depth. And I actually had it explained to me by an independent bookstore owner who said, you know, we just can't compete in depth with the big boxes. Even Walmart can stock more titles than we can. And because they're Walmart, they can get a better deal. So, yeah, as an author, as a publisher myself, a self-published author, publishing my books, and then on my website sending my readers to a bookstore that doesn't have my books, and here's a hint, none of them do, is not a wise choice on my part. So the idea would be for independent bookstores to have an inventory online, so that you could do something like you can at Lowe's and say, okay, I need a rake. This rake is good. Find me the nearest Lowe's store that has that rake in stock and I'll go buy one. Which is what they would like to have. Which is kind of a problem. Because Lowe's can afford to put their entire nationwide inventory on stock. They have economies of scale that that inventory online thing is just a window into their main inventory system process. And so, yeah, I suppose a bookstore could, if they had fully computerized inventories, could in fact put their inventory online so that you could see. Like Borders used to have the search thing where you could tell. And I think Barnes & Noble actually has a search thing where if you put in the title you're looking for, you can actually find a Barnes & Noble near you that has that title in stock. For me, the nearest store is likely to be in Denver. And I'm unlikely to drive 110 miles round trip to pick up a book, or even two. So that ain't happening. And there's another problem, and that's that not every bookstore cost stocks every book. Now with Lowe's has a store in pretty much every town. So there is an economic benefit for them, for people to be able to shop online and then go to their local for a pickup. Same way with Best Buy, same way with all of the big box stores. Shop online, find out if your local has it. If they do, you can go pick it up. The corollary is that if they don't, you can find it somewhere else. Now, the problem is that the probability of finding it somewhere else when we're dealing with an independent bookstore is probably pretty high. I could pull a number out of my butt, but it wouldn't mean much. But the reality is a bookstore with 100,000 titles can't hold a candle to a bookstore with 7 million. It's not realistic. People don't shop at Walmart for their books either. That's the other thing that's kind of missing, is you go to a bookstore because you're looking for a book. If the book you're looking for isn't there, oh dear, well, you can either wait for them to order it for you and have it shipped and charge your surcharge, because whatever they charge is going to be more than you could have bought it for Amazon and even have it shipped. Assuming you're buying a physical book and not an ebook to begin with, which is another question altogether. So the answer, of course, would be to have all of the bookstores have a common inventory where they could tag a title in an inventory and say whether or not they have it in stock. Default being, no, I don't have it in stock. So that there'll be some false negatives, meaning they didn't update their database, so nobody can find the book in their store. Even though it's permanently placed right in front of the doors, nobody can find it online. So ideally, because if I shop at Lowe's online, it'll tell me if they have the rake in stock. It won't tell me if they have the rake in stock at the Home Depot across the town. So instead of going to Lowe's, I could go to Home Depot and buy the rake I want, rather than having to drive to Fort Collins or order it and have it shipped. So the idea would be to have all bookstores contribute to a common online inventory. So if you're looking for a book, your local independent booksellers association website will tell you where that book might be found nearest to your zip code. And this is not rocket surgery, as Evo Terra might say. This is not something that's insurmountable. This is not a problem that needs development to solve. It just needs somebody to pull the pieces together, wedge the widgets together into a single entity and move it onto the web. What it does require is that every bookstore who wants to be part of the program has to load their inventory. Yeah, you can see where this is going. Why would they do that? For the few sales that they would get from online? There's not a cost-benefit analysis that's small enough, I don't think. It's not a cost that's small enough that would make the benefit worthwhile. That's where they're at. And the other part of it is bookstores are roadside attractions. And even if we built a 20-mile spur line down to Route 66 somewhere out in the Arizona desert, would anybody take the trip? Why? Monk Pole. That's the question. Why would anybody take the trip? Even assuming that we could overcome the roadside attraction being bypassed, even if we could somehow put the roadside attraction back on the highway, would anybody make the side trip? Because the fundamental flaws of bookstores still remain. The fundamental flaw being they can't stock enough books to compete with online booksellers. And even if they move online, they have a hard time stocking enough books. They have to have the books in stock, which means they basically have to have an Amazon warehouse in their place. Or one of those espresso print-on-demand machines so that they can print any book that they want when somebody buys one. And that might actually have some value. If you could go to the bookstore, find the book that you want in the catalog and say, that one. Or browse a few shelves and say, oh, this looks interesting. I'd like to have a copy of this, please. And then they print one for you. Maybe. But the problem of inventory is inventory costs money. It costs a lot of money. It costs a huge amount of money to get inventory, to keep inventory, to track inventory, to keep track of inventory. To store it takes space. Space costs money. Digital books take no space, of course, so this is why an espresso machine might work. So yeah, there's some interesting challenges. But having the bookstores push back at the authors, one of the comments was, I make more from my affiliate link than I earn from my publisher, so shut the fuck up. Pardon my French, but it's like, really? I mean, number one, I'm not surprised that affiliate links can be quite lucrative if you have any kind of traffic going through them at all, because that means anything that you purchase by using an affiliate link gets credited to the link you came from. So you log on to buy a paperback, and while you're there, you buy a computer. Well, okay, yeah, that adds up fast. And publishers don't generally pay too much. So that's another issue. So that was one of the things that I was talking about yesterday. I talked about it in much more detail today, in part because yesterday was a practice day, apparently. The other two things I talked about were books. Now, one book, Dan Thompson's first book in his Father Chessman series. I've been watching this book develop for a while. Ships of Our Fathers, Dan Thompson. It was free yesterday. It was free the day before. He's pushing on a free day. I think he's in Kindle Select or something. So if you're interested, go grab one now. And if you're not interested, but you're listening to me, you should go grab one now. This is one of those books where I've watched it develop, and I've heard him ask questions about it as it's gone along. I know him from Google Plus. He's in John Ward's Writers Discussion Group, among others. And he's an interesting guy. He really is. Young guy still. Well, of course, compared to me, most people are. Or they're really old or dead. So, anyway, he was asking a lot of questions, and one of the problems he had was his book, his title, his cover. His cover looked problematic. It didn't. It looked amateurish. It screamed self-pub. He has two books out. He has another book called Beneath the Sky. And if you look at the cover for that, you'll understand what I mean about looks self-published. I talked to him about that. He's in the process of reworking it, but he wants to get the second book out before he goes back to revisit. And I can understand that. The cover is dreadful. Anyway, so I offered him some suggestions and some solutions and some ideas about how he might deal with the book cover, the science fiction book cover, Ships of My Fathers. And he talked about the various possibilities for subtitle, and he settled on Father Chessman series. I was skeptical. I'm still kind of skeptical about the subtitle, but okay, it's his. I mean, there are a lot of people who will complain about The Trader's Tale from the Golden Age of the Solar Clipper as being, it's not a subtitle, for Christ's sakes, it's a dissertation. But anyway, all that aside, it's a science fiction space opera with a commerce background, although there's a lot of combat in it. There's a lot of people getting beat up, and there's a lot of stuff that's blow by from the war just ended, and there's a lot of players like naval intelligence and smugglers and evildoers, pretty much unspecified evildoers, other than the fact that they kidnapped the main character and beat him up pretty badly. Oh, and they're smuggling weapons, so yeah, that's bad. Oh, that's not really a spoiler, but it is. Sorry. It's not significant to the main plot. It's one of the things you find out in the afterword. So, yeah, Ships of Our Fathers. Ships of My Fathers. Dan Thompson. I left him a review on Amazon. I don't know if it'll stand because it's by another author in the same genre. But it was 5-star. And there's a lot of really good stuff. I also posted about it on solarclipper.com, so people who are over there,
good morning,
so people who are over there will have a chance to pick it up. It's really well done. It's not his first book. It's the first book of the series, and he's got a voice. Malcolm Fletcher, his main character, has a voice. A lot of the rest of his characters are kind of cardboardy, but first book in the series, I'm willing to let some of them be sketches, stand the cardboard cut up out until we learn more about the other characters. So this is fine. I'm good with this. And it was very, very engaging, very intriguing, very readable, very enjoyable. So, Ships of My Fathers, Dan Thompson. Now, by comparison, P.S. Powers, the Young Ancient series, P.S. Power, no S at the end, The Young Ancients. I read, there's 5 books in the series, actually I think the 6th book just came out, and horrible, just horrible. Every one of them was horrible, and yet he made me read every one of them. I bought them and read them, and I do not for the life of me know why. It's one of those ineffable questions that takes me back to the idea of, you know, well, if grammar isn't important, if spelling isn't important, if word use isn't important, if plot doesn't matter, and characters are cardboard, what's left? Well, that wasn't bad, 18 minutes, second mile. I am at the back gate. But yeah, what's left? And the answer is, I don't know, but I read every book. I'm not going to read book 6, because it's just too awful. I can't look in the mirror and have read that book. It's that bad. But what about those 5 books? Drag me in. It's one of those questions that I'm going to be pondering for a while. But not today. Today, it's time for me to say, tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.